Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob, Scott, and Becky all enjoy a wine from Hitching Post and their hometown Central Coast Pinot Noir. Further, Scott takes on Becky in a fair and balanced game of Pro V Con. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I am joined by Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
I'm excited, folks. Ambiance. In the background, the movie Sideways, which Rob hates.
I don't hate.
You're a hater.
Well, thank you for talking like that. Also on the show is the Triple B.
Good evening.
Scott's always so negative. He talks about hate.
Joe Rogan.
Yeah, I don't like that guy.
Joe Rogan.
No, it's Blow Flogan.
I would rather not mention his name.
Thank
here.
You.
Don't thank you me. You have been into him in the not so distant past.
No. Slow down. You get on my list too.
Slow down. You move too fast.
That's right. It You've been told that before. Slow down. You move too fast. Then.
Okay. Next.
Exactly.
What are we drinking tonight?
On tonight's show, folks, so subtly segued into by the Triple B, we have a wine that was, the restaurant was featured in the movie Sideways. Mm. Although I think they mentioned the fact that they have their own wine in the movie. Didn't they? I believe so.
I don't know about that.
Anyway, this is a wine that is from the restaurant The Hitching Post. And it's Hitching Post in their hometown Pinot Noir. This is their entry-level Pinot Noir, essentially. They have a whole line of things from the Central Coast area, or Central Coast AVA, and they have Syrah and Pinot Noir. And do they have Chardonnay? They might have Chardonnay as well. But
why would... are dry rosé, a Syrah, Merlot-based red.
That's good.
Yeah.
They might make a Chardonnay. But nevertheless, this is available on wine.com. And it was something I saw and I went, I would like to try that. I believe it's about $24, $25 of your American money right now. It goes up in price into the, I believe, in the 40s for some of their more expensive ones. But it never gets outlandishly expensive. There's no $100 Hitching Post wines. And you can buy all these, obviously, in the restaurant. The restaurant itself is like a diner steakhouse restaurant. They have,
like a what?
A diner slash like steakhouse. No. Higher end. It's very high end. It's it's in the Central Coast. It's a fancier
high end diner.
No, but they have the top. Think of the top, but more of a rustic kind of interior. The top, I think, is actually a very good comparison. Don't you think, Scott? You know, been there. But
I've never been to Hitching Post. What I remember from I can't say. Let's see what the wines are. It'd be surprising if they don't produce Chardonnay, but maybe it's a decision they made. But there's Chardonnays in Central Coast and Santa Barbara area, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, actually, Central Coast AVA. There's a lot of different sub AVAs, but this one particularly is made, I believe, from the Los Alamos, Santa Maria, and Santa Rita Hills AVA. Well. Vineyards from those areas, but within Central Coast, you've got Santa Cruz Mountains, and from there you've got Ridge Montebello, which is extremely good. High-end Cabernets can come from there, great Cabernets. Yep. Santa Rita Hills, obviously Pinot Chardonnay, Monterey, and we know it's Monterey. I mean, that's huge, and there's Pinot and all sorts of cabbage that's grown there. Santa Maria, then San Benito. Calera, really, from the Pinot Noir. But they also can do Zins. They can also do Cab Francs, all sorts of interesting things. And that's the cool, more coastal AVAs. But with Central Coast, as you get a little more inland, in warmer areas, you got Paso. We know what the hell Paso is. San Inez, Ballard Canyon, which is like Verone varietals, which is a little bit interesting. And then you've got a little bit. Then the San Antonio Valley with the Hames area, And that's where your bulk shit is made. And that's a big part of Monterey. That's why we don't like Monterey, and that's why we make fun of Central Coast.
Down in Monterey.
But there's always good parts of every place.
Well.
Right? Well, Monterey, not so much. But
well, Becky is on the show.
What's that have to do with Becky?
Monterey.
Good parts of everything.
Oh, okay. Whatever.
I'm the good part of the show, Rob.
Oh, that's what you meant. Okay. I didn't know what you meant. I thought you meant.
So Hitching Post does have a white currently on their list. It's White Dahlia, St. Inez Valley, a white table wine. Doesn't really say what the varietals are.
St. Inez, probably, well, Chardonnay, probably. And who knows, no, maybe Viognier.
There is a Chardonnay.
Mm-hmm. I thought.
Hitching Post Chardonnay, Carriaga, Santa Barbara County, 2017. Mm-hmm. And the Forerunner, Chenin Blanc.
Mmm. But tonight we're going to have an interesting drink.
Hopefully interesting.
We always enjoy Pinot Noir, too.
I would not say always.
Well, what Pinot Noir did we not like?
Naomi.
Okay, that doesn't count. That's not a Pinot Noir.
Well, I'm just saying.
I
think Pinot...
Point
is,
of order.
We've discussed this many times. It's one of the harder wines to get right. So I would not say we always enjoy it.
Other than Naomi, though. What was one? I mean, there's some that we go, eh, but it's even.
We've had some dogs.
Vegetal. We've had some that are too.
Just not good.
Oaky.
But it's still Pinot. Are you talking about.
We didn't care for. La Crema.
La Crema?
Did we do La Crema on the show? And
what's one that we had that was
criminal?
Oh, I think what you. Yeah, well.
I don't remember the names. I just remember.
Napa, what the hell is that thing? Napa Cellars, the V. That was oaky. Then again, that was Napa Cellars. It was fine, but it was like, you know, it was regularly $60 or $50, and we got it for $19.99, which makes it $19.99. So that one was.
We've had some that have been syrupy.
What?
Yeah,
I don't know that one. I mean, the Winte, the what is it? The Riva Ranch. Is it Riva Ranch?
That sounds right.
We liked it. I mean, it was one of those things where it's like, meh, it was nice, but...
Good, right?
Yeah, good.
It's been a minute since we've had a Pinot on the show, I'm thinking.
True. I know.
It has been a little bit long. A little bit too long, perhaps.
We had an Opatagua last night.
Cabernet, though.
Yeah, but still, I mean...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you Never. Want to share what happened to us Friday night?
We will. We will eventually. It was my. We got Michael Davided up the ass. Let's just say that. And you never want that.
Expression.
Want that. Well. We got Michael Davided. So, folks, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Hey, everybody! It's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, the 2018 Hitching Post Hometown Central Coast Pinot Noir. Becky, would you be interested in reading about Hitching Post wines?
I would.
Oh, would you?
Leading the Hitching Post wines team are the creators and two longtime friends, Gray Hartley and Frank Ostini, who have been making wines in Santa Barbara County, California since 1979. Long before Hollywood discovered the winemaking landmark and its excellent wines, Gray Hartley, a former Alaskan salmon fisherman, and Frank Ostini, chef and owner of the famed Hitching Post 2 restaurant in Buellton, were brought together by their love of wine and winemaking. Over the years, their backyard hobby has turned into a highly acclaimed winemaking enterprise. Keep going.
Well, sure.
Do you hear, is this Belle Biv DeVoe channel?
It is.
You hear what's on?
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Okay. In 1981, they discovered the wonders of Santa Barbara Pinot Noir. Since then, Pinot has been their primary focus. That's exciting. Their flagship wine is the Hitching Post Highliner. Is that the one we have?
No.
Oh.
This is not the flagship. This is the tugboat.
That's not. The Highliner is the best fisherman in the fleet, and this name honors the great men of the Alaskan salmon fishery alongside. So I just want to say, when we have a tribute wine, that is usually not usually a good wine. But anyways.
Well, you've got that whole thing about a name. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like a parent's name. And the Highliner, you know.
Highliner right now could be had for $44 for the 18, $43 for the 17.
And what did you spend for this?
I spent $25.99 for the Hometown.
They've got some interesting names on their Pinots.
Hometown.
Kick On Pinot Noir goes for 40 bones. The Cork Dancer at 30.
Cork Dancer is 32 on wine.com right now.
Fiddlesticks Vineyard Pinot Noir, 54. Mm-hmm. And then here it is. Rebecca doesn't like these. Julia's Vineyard.
Yeah. Special wine, Highliner is meant to be the best of their fleet. Along with 10 selections of Pinot. Whoa. Hitching Post produces a dry rosé called Pink's.
Don't want that.
Nope. Easy. A Syrah. No, thank you. And a Merlot-based red named Gin Red.
I would drink
also,
that.
Also, no. No.
I would drink it.
Then came Sideways in 2004, the Academy Award-winning film set in Santa Barbara wine country, prominently featuring the Hitching Post 2 and Hitching Post wines. Since their exposure, they have gained in popularity. Currently, the winery is 12,000 barrels and produces about 17,000 cases a year. Carly and Ostini strive to create flavorful, handcrafted wines that possess poise and balance, putting a slice of Santa Barbara in each glass and a piece of their soul in every bottle.
It's an interesting website for sales, and the prices, I mean, I don't know what the shipping costs are, but the prices are not ostentatious.
No.
They've got some interesting little deals. They've got what they call the isolation case. Okay. They pick a case of wine for you.
Oh.
$300. And they say it could include the Highliner.
Could include.
But, you know, their wine's cheapest.
It could include J.Lore Cabernet.
No, it's their stuff.
Oh, their stuff. Okay. It's all the rosé.
You know, like the white wine 3-pack, it's $56. That's the cheapest one they've got, so.
I'm interested in why they make 10 different Pinots.
Probably because they like Pinot.
What's that expression?
No. What?
Something, and then a master of none. What's the first part of that? Jack of all trades, master of none.
Something along those lines.
Yeah.
I feel like that might be.
But it's all Pinot.
And they're variety specific. Vineyard specific. You know, so they're.
Yeah.
Are they doing some blending? I would guess, but.
Well, normally when we have a wine like this and a varietal like this, we'd like to defer to experts on that. And we happen to have an expert that is joining us tonight.
The Pinot File's back!
That is right. It's the Pinot File.
Oh, he is. Don't read it in that voice. I'm going to leave the show.
What? I'm just saying.
Don't read it in that voice.
We love him. We've missed you.
The Pinot File.
Rob.
Did you have any luck selling your website?
He's still for sale.
Have you upped the price?
No.
Robert.
Sorry. Now, this is Wilford. I am going to translate for the Pinot File.
Man, we don't like you, Wilford.
We're cellmates together currently, so it's okay.
Soulmates. That's soulmates.
No, we're in jail right now. And
the Pinot File's not in jail. He's just locked because Rebecca won't let him back on the show.
That's jail. I'm in jail, but I can ascend above. My melodic voice just soothes everything.
Compared to the Pinot File, your jail bait, maybe.
What? No, it's not that kind of jail. No. This is not a Turkish prison. Turkish Delight is delicious, by the way. Have you ever had that?
Can't say that I have.
Okay. Well, go to a Turkish prison and you'll get some Turkish Delight.
Is it like a hookah flavor?
I think you would do well in Turkish prisons.
Do like Turkish coffee.
Oh, yeah. Well, they'll put that in you, too. Okay, so in the glass, and there are no reviews, by the way. If there were, I would read them as Wilford Wong.
Is it a Pinot File?
No, Becky has obviously barred the Pinot File from the show.
Shh.
but not a Scooby-Doo son.
I've
trained
the voice.
Well, that's but that
I
is
like the penophile.
Well, that so
is
do
the
I.
penophile's voice.
I if I like you, you get a voice.
The penophile's voice.
I don't want him to have a voice. You don't.
He's always had a voice.
He has a voice.
You can't take his voice away.
I don't like any of Rob's voices.
Even this one. How about the Southern man?
Saturday.
Do you not like this?
Saturday night, Rob tried to Austrian psychologist.
That is right, Becky. What are your problems?
No,
I didn't say it was as good as Scott's. Scott's is better.
That's probably my all-time favorite voice.
You're just saying that to make me mad.
No, it
I
is.
I like the pedophile's voice.
That's right. The pedophile. Well, I don't even know how I came up with that voice, but it's just genius.
It just happened. It just happened.
I know. Like
Foxglove Pino. Yes. Hitching post is, he's a Taco Pino. I just drink it in my Scooby-Doo son with the melted ice cream face. He doesn't like it, and I say, shut up, my bastard son. And then I cast him out, and then I threw him in a well. But he climbed out of the well. Now he looks like Scooby-Doo.
So on the nose.
Yes, on the nose.
It is.
By the way, it looks nice in the glass.
It is unmistakably Pinot.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Faint, but a little light raspberry, maybe a whiff of vanilla.
And there's
a little
mentholated.
Yeah, but
a little bit.
Back in the background, there's the Pinot funk. It's there.
Yeah, you would know.
Oh, yeah.
It's
smells like Pinot.
It smells like Pinot. It's gorgeous in the glass, actually.
And it kinda looks the part. It's that really pretty rust brick.
Mm-hmm. Good clarity.
There's a little shimmer about it.
There is. When I poured it in the glass, I went, oh, that's lovely. Vibrant.
Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of mushroominess in the back.
There is, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, that menthol, if you take it as an earthy element, yeah.
There's, I don't know, there's something else that I'm not for sure what it is.
I'm very hopeful.
I am too.
I'm not.
It got a high score from the actual people that drank it on wine.com. It's like a 4.7 or 8.
That's high.
There's like 6 people, but still, you know.
That's not many, but still, that's
I didn't say
4.7 is a big number on
wine.com. Well, yeah, when some things that we drink get like a 3.2, it's got a better review.
Go ahead.
I think you're down on this. Just from the get-go. Well, I don't understand why.
I just feel like I'm anti it because it was featured in a movie.
But it wasn't featured in a movie.
Okay.
The restaurant was in the movie. That's where they met for the date.
And they mention it, I think, in the movie that they do make their own wine. But I just drank it, and I enjoy it.
Mm. I remember he was a dick in...
What's his name?
Picking the... He's a school teacher. What his character's name?
Paul Giamatti.
Yes, Paul Giamatti, yes.
What is his character's name? I don't remember.
Thomas Hayden Church.
Tantra I was thinking, because he was John Adams.
Yeah.
John Adams. So mm-hmm. I was like, his name's John Adams, but that's not right.
But he...
He would take that.
He's
I think
not
he
inside.
I think he would go along with that.
It's the premise in the end of I'm not drinking that fucking Merlot. It's that's where that it's that part of the movie, my favorite part of that scene. I need to look it again just to find out if they talk about the Hitching Post wine.
I watched that movie a long time ago.
I love that movie.
I'm currently watching The Chair with Sandra Oh.
One of the greatest scenes ever is when Sandra Oh finds out that he's getting married and whacks him in the face with her motorcycle helmet.
Thomas Hayden Church breaks his nose.
Oh my God, that's freaking fantastic.
Have you seen it? I'm familiar with yes, I have seen it.
Yeah, Thomas Hayden Church,
the
handyman from Wings.
Integrity. I think it's too late.
It is too late. It's too late.
Dang.
No integrity tonight, folks. I'd lose anyway, so what's the point?
I'm going in. Nobody's made comments.
I've gone in. I just didn't want to make comments until everybody drank it.
Yeah. Something that I am noticing on the finish, it is a nice drink, but something that I'm noticing on the finish that's a little bit shocking and I'm kind of into is there is some lemon on the finish.
Lemon on the finish.
Yeah. I mean, that's normally you know, so much earlier in the palate. But if you, it's got a lot of length to it. It's very light length, but it's there, and there's lemon at the end.
It's a beauty.
Yeah.
It is a nice wine. I like, on the mid palate, as it starts to wash away, black licorice. Blackjack licorice, right there. Mm. And I don't like blackjack licorice, yeah, but I like it here. Because it just makes it so interesting, and it gives it a bit of a, it gives it a bit of a meaty, mm-hmm. beef strong edge. I mean, it's a stronger Pinot.
It has some tannins.
Oh, it does. Mm-hmm. It's a good framed, not weighty. The core is weighty, but the outside part of the wine is very lithy and silky and drinkable. But then it has that nice strong core that makes it a nice. It's a nice dichotomy between the two, really. I like that a lot. It's got minerality, mm-hmm. but not too much.
It is interesting that finish that you were talking. I think what gives it that lemon wash away, it's acidity. It's the acidity there at the end. It just, The oak is gone, the finish is gone, and then there's just this almost like mouth-cleansing little acidity there. It's really light. It's almost like a lemon water.
Yeah.
Like an essence of lemon and water.
Like a little spa water kind of deal. Yeah, like it's really light.
If you go through it, though, there's always just a little bit of lemon rind that just accents the front, middle, and all the way through. And that I think is also, I think that's being imparted a little bit by the oak and the acidity, but just a little bit right on the tip of your tongue, and it just draws through.
I can see that.
Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of a framing element. That. Yeah, I it also kind of mingles in with a little bit with the minerality as it goes to the mid.
This is a really delightful Pinot.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Let's talk about that minerality a little bit. What is that? There's a couple things going on with the minerality. There's an earthy component.
True. But it doesn't come across as a funk wine.
To me...
Just on the nose.
The minerality, there's some... It's like a rock. I don't know.
And I think like a little...
Well, limestone soil, I mean. Yeah.
Forest thing with that too.
I was going to say... I was going to say like a gravel driveway.
Yeah, I mean, I believe it's limestone soils from where it's all pulled from, at least most of it, and that's kind of embarking a little bit from that. So, but it doesn't have any real. It's not a. It doesn't have a floral edge. It doesn't have any kind of evergreen, anything like that that's coming through that would lead me to a forest or, and it's not. There's no slaty real element. It's more just straight limestone, more of a. Now, you might find in like the Cork Dancer and what the hell the other things are, you might find more aromatics there that get to that, but I'm betting that those are going to be more of the elegant style and be the real, I bet they're really nice, quite frankly.
If this is,
not to say that I'm not going to find out.
But if this is their entry, I want to find out.
Oh, I do too. I do too.
You know why they make 11 different wines, I think, Becky?
Because they can.
Because they can do this.
Yes, with their entry. Basic one.
This is their entry.
Does that make you
want to
buy their...
Yes. It makes me buy more of their stuff for sure, 100%.
Yeah.
10,000%. Pinot's not my whiz-bang, but this is my whiz-bang.
I'll tell you what, though. I like wines from down there. I like Pinot Noir from Santa Barbara in that area. I like them. I do.
But always I've have. Had, but, you know, I've had some dogs from there. You know, you just...
Oh, name one. Name one right now.
I've had from the house or on vacation.
But yeah, but you can buy stuff.
It makes me go away from Santa Barbara.
But if you screw around and if you're buying non-Pinot down there, I mean, you can't buy stuff from grocery stores that say Central Coast on it. You have to be very careful about that.
Yeah.
But the true stuff, the people that aren't fucking around.
I'm thinking that more than Santa Barbara. I'm thinking more Central Coast.
Well, this is Central Coast, but it's just
in the Central Coast, but these are distinctly Santa Barbara County wines.
Well, but that's part of it. I mean, Central Coast is a large AVA. I mean, we're talking a lot of area.
And I don't trust Central Coast. When I see just that AVA, that's where I've had bad experience.
Well, Central Coast is almost like is akin to North Coast. What does that even fucking mean?
this it does huge it. Big freaking area. It means they're taking the worst of the worst to put a wine together.
But it might. Well, we've never had a good North Coast, really. But still, but they just did that because they have different ones within the AVA. So what are you going to do? Put three different AVAs on there? No, you're not going to do that. So you put Central Coast because it's the most apt thing. But they sell it on the basis that they are on Hitching Post.
100%.
So, I mean, they're not necessarily worried about putting Central Coast on there. And there are good Central Coast wines. You just need to try them and experience them. If they're from a good Pinot, known Pinot producer, good one, you can probably, you're going to take a flyer, but you're probably going to be all right. If you're buying those Central Coast from J. Lore's Central Coast Pinot Noir, you might as well just go get yourself some, Ipecac, because you're not going to have an enjoyable experience. If you don't like the other things that the Jackoffs make, why do you think you'd like the Pinot that they make? It doesn't make any sense. Because it's the same Jackwagons making the Pinot that is making the shitty Merlot, or the shitty Cab, or the shitty Chardonnay. They're just going to do their shitty style with Pinot, They're dipshits. Dipshits are dipshits. They go by the fact that, oh my God, we moved X amount of cases last week. It's because your shit is everywhere and it's in everybody's face. And they're like, okay, I'll buy it because it's right there. They probably don't buy it a second fucking time.
Right.
Until it's the only thing there. And then they buy it again. Like, okay. Or just give me a white wine. Give me a house white wine. That happens to be J. Lore.
Right. What was your price point here again?
25-ish.
Yeah. But, Pinot's one of the ones that we say you have to spend a little more to get to that good where you're going to expect quality at. And we've always had that number's 20.
Yeah, I mean, there's some other ones that are pretty good, but you're right. Normally, though, you're going to be finding stuff like Sonoma Coast and whatnot.
Yeah. And you'd have to say that, I mean, this is somewhat of a boutique-ish winemaker. What was it? How many cases?
What, 12,000 cases?
Yeah.
Across 100 different wines.
Across 100 different wines.
Yeah. No, this is boutique-y.
This is very boutique-y. And been doing it for years.
Yeah.
And
making something that's tasty.
Making something that's really tasty.
I like it.
What's their high end?
Highliner? The Highliner.
Was 50-some bucks.
No, it's $44.99 for the 18. Wine.com right now.
Right. And that's their high end puppy?
It's a high end.
I want to try that. I'll be honest with you. Let's just go straight to the top. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I just like this one. I like drinking nice Pinots. And you don't have to spend a ton. I mean, you can go to Chile and buy some nice, tasty things. You can buy some nicer things in Oregon. That being said, I don't care if you're drinking Leda or you're drinking Apatagua. This actually, to me, has a little bit of the drinkability of the Apatagua Pinot Noir.
It's completely different style. Completely different stylistically.
Somewhat. But the fruit, the raspberry fruit, the way it comes across, is similar. The mid palate in this, I think, is a little bit denser, a little bit bigger. The Apatagua is just saying, I'm going to be soft and kind of a beauty all the way through, and skipping over that mid palate. Which is fine.
What this Pinot doesn't have, it's not this. If your thing for Pinot is texture, that's not this one.
No.
This has everything else, though. Yeah. I love the acidity and, as you described it, that lemon wash at the end.
It doesn't have, mesmerizing texture. It's pretty good.
It's the texture. I'm not criticizing the texture.
No, it's not. But if you're a elevated.
Velvety, it's not. It doesn't have that velvety mouthfeel. Yeah,
it's not silky. It's not any of those.
You drink Mary Edwards, you're like, oh, okay, that's what that is.
Exactly.
Whenever I tasted the lemon earlier, I was looking for waxiness too, and I didn't find it.
That's what I'm getting at. It just doesn't have that component, but that's fine.
Didn't go cloying. Well, you don't want that. That's a Riesling kind of thing,
Yeah, but still, when you have lemon. You said lemon rind even, but it's not. Sometimes you get into the waxy, but I didn't.
That'd be odd in a Pinot, but,
Oily, waxy.
Yeah. I guess oily you could do
oily.
That.
Mm-hmm. But love this.
Mm-hmm. I love it, too. Just love it. I don't think that anybody, if you poured this for anybody that likes Pinot, even snobs, they'd be like, that's a very solidly built, well done Pinot.
And it's got complexity.
It does.
It's got some different things going on. What would you compare this finish to? Nothing. Yeah. There's nothing I can think of that has anything like a finish like this. It's just this wonderful expression of a city that's very unique. And it's wonderful. I agree, it probably does come from the oaking.
A little
bit. Unusual. Mm-hmm.
A little French oak that just kind of carries through. But I just love that little expression, once again, of the blackjack licorice that just kind of eases through that oak on the finish and then kind of washes away with a little bit of the acidity. It's such a nice expression, and it's unique, and it's something that is memorable to this wine that I don't experience elsewhere. I've never really had that kind of flavor, especially in a Pinot, and that's something that makes this wine stick in my mind a little bit. I like that a lot. I like it a lot.
I have asked this before, but I meant to write it down. Mm. What was the price point on this?
$25.99
You know who'd fucking love this? Superstar.
Mm. What?
This? We would love this.
Steve? Yes. Yeah, Steve would like this.
This would be a 4 or 5 bottle of night wine. And truth is...
Yeah. I could easily drink 2 bottles of this wine.
Easy. Mm-hmm. Peasy. Mm-hmm. Doing just what we're doing here, meat and cheese.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just mm-hmm. like maybe some... You know what would be perfect with this? Frank's frickin' antipasta.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The marinated mushrooms.
Yeah.
The Asiago with the prosciutto on it. That's good with anything, though.
It's been a long time since we've had Scallies.
That's true.
I want, like, a splash more.
Yeah, that. I was going to hoard it all for myself anyway.
It's good.
His antipasta is the frickin' best.
I have a friend that lives not even a mile from Scally's and had never been there. She eats takeout 5 times a week.
What?
And I was like, are you kidding me? You eat takeout all the time. She lives alone. She always does DoorDash. I'm like, you eat out 5 times a week and you've not been to Scally's? That's insane.
So a good first time to try is just the meatball appetizer and artichoke salad, and you get the full loaf of bread with that. It's freaking fantastic meal.
I had recommended the lasagna, and she said she didn't like lasagna. I love
the hell's
lasagna.
Wrong with her.
And their lasagna is, it's really good. It's just,
who doesn't like lasagna?
Mm, it's heavy.
Our boys have been through like a weird phase. I feel like they were kind of like everything we made. They were like, I don't want it. I made lasagna 2 weeks ago. They ate almost the whole pan. They loved it. And I was like, there we go. Now we're back in the things that you like.
Mm-hmm.
What was the price when we did the exercise about how much you would pay for a Pinot and expect it to be good? You know, like at a certain 25. Point.
Well, but I think also it's like, if you're going to, something we've talked about before is what level would you expect for a budget wine to be good? And for like Pinot, we always said 20,
mm-hmm.
but you 25, it's like you demand it's going to be good.
Yeah,
and this is
good.
Mm-hmm. It is good.
Really good.
I'm glad. I was so hopeful.
Mm-hmm. The other thing, not when you have a full glass like Rob and Scott have.
How could you that I would not?
But when you have a lighter glass like I have. A smaller pour, and I look at the color in the glass, it's like the really pretty dark red mum color that you get in the fall. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. That rust red color, it's pretty. Are you setting up for our game?
I am, folks. So, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we have a game of Pro V Con, the Triple B versus the Unlicensed Taxi Driver in their least favorite game in the entire world.
No doubt.
Yes.
We hate it.
Here on the Wine Vault. Be right back. And we're back, folks. So, on tonight's potpourri, we have Pro V Con. It's been a while. It's been too long since we've played Pro V Con. I don't think Scott feels that way. But
no.
Let me go through how Pro V Con works. I have topics in this little bowl. We have five rounds. Each time...
We're all aware.
Before Becky and Scott pull one of the topics out, they have to declare, before reading it, whether they are pro the topic or con the topic. And that's how they have to argue. And then their opponent argues opposite. Now, you're arguing pro v con despite how you may or may not feel about the topic, which is interesting. And myself, as the fair and balanced arbiter, I will award points.
How'd you come up with this game?
I just come up with things.
How can I torture you?
It really was like that, wasn't it?
Maybe. So, we're going to start off with Scott. Or Becky, who wants to go first? Do you guys want to decide who goes first?
I don't care.
I'll go first.
Okay, Scott, pro or con? Pro. No, pro. Scott's going pro.
Con. Pro, con.
Scott's going pro.
You're going pro?
And con. Name the topic. Becky's going to be con. What's the topic?
The tasting panel.
The tasting. I'm con the tasting panel.
Which one are you, Scott?
Apparently, I'm pro.
You are pro? The tasting panel. Well, I hate them.
How could you be anything but pro the tasting panel? I mean, their opinions are so valuable to the wine world.
That sounds sarcastic.
You know, Wilfred Wong is one of their highlining founders. Oh, that's right. He got kicked out. That's another reason.
That is a good pro.
to be pro the tasting panel.
Don't mock me.
Oh, it's very funny.
That's not.
You know, they accept the Pinot file.
It's just like the Justice League. Kind of.
Kind of, sort of.
Yes. Yeah, sort of.
You know, so the tasting panel. I'm very pro. Very, very pro. You know, nobody has more integrity in the tasting panel than James Suckling.
What? I don't know what you mean. Okay, so that's Scott's. And by the way, I award between 1 and 5 points. Actually, no. 5 points is the highest. I can give negative points if I feel like it. So there's that. All right, so on to Becky. Con, the tasting panel.
I don't care for the tasting panel's reviews normally. I just feel like I don't really like anyone's reviews, honestly, because I feel like they're, as we've read so many reviews, they're all like pulling out all these flavors of wine that we can't find anywhere. Mm. I do feel like the tasting panel, sometimes I feel like they just have a bunch of words and descriptions in a bowl and they just pick them out of the bowl.
They do that.
Yeah.
The question is, who the fuck is the tasting panel?
But they're so good at that.
Are they?
They're very good at picking words out of a
word
bowl.
Word soup?
And usually like it's Blackberry, Cigar Box, and then, I mean, they'll pick 30 words.
And they're talking about Chardonnay.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't like a lot of the reviews that we read. I don't think they're very accurate, but the tasting panel, I feel like, does an exceptional job at being inaccurate.
Mm, interesting.
They excel at being inaccurate.
Well, at least they are exceptional at being inaccurate, then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I have no idea if they're made up of men or women.
That's true. Would that make a difference?
No.
Okay. Possible. Okay.
If they're bad, they're bad. I don't.
That's good. I appreciate that. Yeah. I appreciate that. So,
okay.
Round two. Becky, pro or con?
Do I get extra points because you misspelled a word?
I probably misspelled what, panel?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you spell with two N's?
I don't know what I did.
No, you do not.
But no, I don't.
But he did.
He did.
I did? Oh, yeah, I spelled it right here. So I wrote it down. I don't know.
You're probably just heavy typing.
I wasn't paying attention.
Panel.
Well, then you did it wrong because it is the French.
I did say the tasting panel.
It's a tasting panel.
He did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pro or con?
Pro.
Pro. Becky being positive. What are you pro?
Becky being positive.
Well, that's what you are, being pro.
Okay. Cult wines.
Cult wines. I accidentally originally wrote that as cunt wines, and I realized I misspelled it. So I fixed that.
How dare you?
Cult
Why wines. Would you?
Because I don't know what those are. Well, they're made by Fry Brothers, but still. What?
I think there's a lot of cult wines beyond Fry Brothers.
They're not a cult wine. I'll give you a free one there.
Well, so something
that's points off.
So some examples of cult wines that I think are positive ones. Like sometimes when you're having a cult wine, you feel like you're missing out on the inside joke. It's kind of like if you watch a movie and you don't get it and whatever, it's because you didn't grow up during the time that it was popular. But for cult wines, like the first one that came to my mind was Mary Edwards. I feel like it has a, it maybe isn't, you're not going to find it on a lot of restaurant menus, but it has a major following. It's like a cult-like obsession with them. And they're exceptional. And when you go there, we were in a conference room, I feel like. It wasn't like a fancy... We were in a conference room,
yeah. They're like, oh, you want
to
drink
wine. It wasn't a fancy setup because it didn't have to be a fancy setup because they let their products speak for themselves. So that would be my pro cult wine.
See, for me, cult wines are... I wouldn't even include Mary Edwards as a cult. Cult wines are the outrageously priced crap that's out there that's not worth shit that people drink because, oh, I can buy a $700 bottle of wine. Mm. Do you like
this? You mean like Crystal like or something?
Screaming Eagle. Yeah, so cult wines. It's, you know, drink high quality wines like Marriott, like Turley. Value, good price. Maybe you can't get it everywhere, but the whole point of a cult wine is you inflate its quality and you make it this desirable thing when it's not all that good. It's bullshit.
Well, some of them are very, very good. It's just whether or not they're good as a relation to
$1,500 a bottle. That's good. Fair. That's freaking ridiculous.
What about? Yeah. Well. Yeah.
So another cult wine that came to my mind was Camus. I feel like people that like Camus love Camus, and I felt like Camus was fine when I drank it. But something that I will say about it is it's super easily drinkable. And you can just, I mean, kick it back and kick it back. You can really go through it before you know what's happening.
Well, I guess when we come down to this, not to interject, there is the classic definition of, there could be two ways to view it, and quite frankly, and I get where Becky is coming from, too, in that regard. Cult wines classically mean asinine things that are they hit the market. And they become exclusive because of their price, not because of their provenance, not because of their history.
And nobody knows how good they are because nobody drinks them because they're so freaking expensive.
Yeah. But
they're unattainable.
But what you're saying, though, is there is this mindless following of a Camus, which is wildly high case production. It's not that it's a bad wine.
You can
really
buy it anywhere.
It's really, really good.
You can buy it at Meijer. You can buy it at Kroger. It doesn't make a difference. You can buy it at your grocery store. It's not special, though, but people act as if it is special and act in a cult
manner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's really, really good, but it's also $90.
Yeah, and it ain't $90 good. Sorry. It's not. Just not.
But you can.
I don't think
you
it's
can...
90.
Oh, no, it can be.
No. I mean, I don't think it's 90. It's good. Worth 90. No. That's what I meant. Yeah, no.
You can get a lot of stuff. The thing is, it's a Napa product, so it's not from a single vineyard. They have a single vineyard.
They do.
It's it's $175-$180, maybe it's even more than that now. But so you're just getting a $90 version of a Napa Cab. I mean, what is it? Is it any different than Freemark Abbey? Not really. It's double the price. Is it better? No. Although I just saw Hall, I was going to say Hall, but Hall's now up to like $70.
Well, Hall's got stuff you can pay whatever you want for.
Yeah, but even their single vineyard stuff, or if you want to get Rutherford or something like that, it's less than Camus.
Yeah,
that Washington stuff I just bought, the Andrew Will, The Salerno gets 98 from Parker. It's the same price as Camus.
There's also a lot of cult-like following. I feel like this mindless following for different kind of regions that drop up.
Yeah.
That pop up like Argentinian Malbecs. That was like a thing. And it was like almost exclusive when we've actually found Argentina and the rest of South America to be really value priced great wines. And it's not exclusive at all, but for there was a very long minute where it was, oh, this is what I drink, you know, just really.
No, then there's all of the dudes like that Colchagua Valley area. Oh, that's us. Yeah, I'm going pro.
Oh, pro on the next. Hold on a second. Pro.
Okay.
On to round three. What's that?
Bottle variation. It exists, folks. It's and just a fact that it bottle variation occurs.
You're pro.
It's a reality. Pro. It's when you have these.
You're happy about it varying between bottle to bottle?
Well, it happens.
According to you, it does, yeah.
It's reality. Mm-hmm. If you've, particularly on a budget-priced wine, you're not having the best quality control. You don't have the best product to begin with. And there's going to be some bottle variation. You're going to have stuff that is good sometimes. And then you might have some quality issues where you're going to have a bottle that's a turd. And we've had that. Trying to think of some of our first year where we fell in love with stuff and then it's like, meh. Bogle. We love Bogle Vines in, and then the more we had it, the more we realized it's not always the same bottle of wine every time you have it.
It's because they have eight different vintages on the shelf.
No. We had back when we were getting 14s.
Bogle? I think you mean that red blend, Essential Red.
Essential Red.
Yeah, the old Vines in.
The old Vines in. You're right. We're talking about that Essential Red.
Yeah, but that Essential Red.
That's what we fell in love with.
Well, I mean, they make that out of the bull's blood half the damn. Who knows what that shit is? Well, I've drank it recently. That stuff is sloppy slop. I mean, we really wouldn't
that
like
one
it
vintage today. We liked. That's it. But even it was.
We were stupid, but mixed. Yeah.
Well, we're still stupid.
Well, yeah, we were extra stupid.
Well, we're still extra stupid.
No, we're 950 bottles of wine down the pike since then, so it's been a little bit of drinking.
50 loof balloons, Robin's got it.
Yeah, maybe 1,000 bottles in the past.
Do you think we could make a new theme song? It would be after 96 Red Balloons.
No.
Make our own lyrics to it.
You're losing
points. Do you think we'd get in trouble for doing that?
I don't know.
It would be fun.
All right. So
we could write a song.
Becky Kahn.
Henry, help us.
Kahn, bottle variation.
So Scott says it happens. I honestly think bottle variation is often an excuse for bad wine.
Mm.
That it's fallen off the mark in a subsequent year. Like maybe they tried to increase their case production too much, or you know, they've become too commercialized, they've sold out, whatever. But I often feel like, us included, give way too much credit to bottle variation when it's just bad winemaking.
Or it could be, maybe it's just being nice to somebody that likes shitty wine.
I like shitty
Who's
wine.
That directed to?
I like shitty wine.
Did you see his face?
Oh, yeah.
Now, Scott's being nice to people he knows that like shitty wine.
Well,
yes. No, I'm sure. It's bottle variation. Yes.
No.
All right. So next round, it's Becky. Pro or con? Yeah, every time.
Are we doing this?
And we have the example
thing?
Of the bodega.
No, there's just five rounds.
Five rounds.
Yes, five rounds. Unless you'd like to go seven.
Five too many.
Yeah, great.
Three was good.
We'll do nine next time.
I'm going to.
Three's good for you.
Con
Becky.
It's
Invermectin. It's the horse dewormer.
Invermectin? It's
Well, she pronounced it. I don't know.
Well, it's your spelling, which is.
It's spelled correctly.
Yeah. P-A-N-N-E-L.
Horse dewormer. It's just horse dewormer, Scott. You're so pro horse dewormer.
I would never be anti horse dewormer because it's
ivermectin.
You care about horses?
If your horse has worms,
that's right.
You should give them this. Yeah. However, I can't believe I'm saying this in the year of our Lord 2021, almost 2022. I am anti using this against its, I don't know, intended use as a COVID treatment. And I am stunned that this is where we are in our world. Someone said to me the other day, and this is cruel but not untrue, that it started out as a pandemic and now it's become an IQ test.
Ooh, ouch.
Horse dewormer.
Understand there are very, you know, there are very lovely people that were really, really affected by this at the beginning. But now that a vaccine is widely available, anyone can get it. I have a hard time believing or understanding why someone would choose to take a horse dewormer over a vaccination.
I'm under the understanding that a certain gentleman named Flo Blogan is very sad that CNN accused him of using horse dewormer.
The other thing that I
and he
say,
is crying and said he might sue because he's a man. It's 5'1".
Other thing that I will allegedly say is
it's 4'11".
That this has gone on for far too long because of people's ignorance and just like frankly being idiots, and it needs to stop.
I agree. This pro versus con game has gone on far too long.
You just lost points for that shit.
That's all right. No, ivermectin con, it's so easy. Or is it invermectin?
You're pro, dumbass.
No, I'm con.
You're
no,
pro.
I was con.
You're
no,
pro.
I'm
con. You're pro.
I'm you can con. Choose to also be con. I'm there con. Was one before where I was also agreed with you. What was it? I don't
negative
remember,
points.
But you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Where whichever one you had picked, I was Let's, like.
Don't blow the. Well, you're winning right now, Scott. Don't fuck it
Scott's
up.
Scott's winning.
Maybe.
Easily.
Maybe he is. Maybe
Easily
he's not. Don't
you know,
screw up.
It is a human treatment for roundworms and ectoparasites. So how could you not be pro that? Because if you get ectoparasites, you need your ivermectin.
Well, it's an antiparasitic. But COVID is a virus. It's not a parasite.
Well,
it's not a living. It's not the same
thing.
It's not you know.
But how could you be pro it? And all you said was ivermectin. You didn't say ivermectin is a treatment for COVID.
No, I know I didn't say that.
So it's a very useful if you've got ectoparasites.
Exactly.
Or if you're an idiot in Alabama and you
what?
Choose to.
What are you trying to say? What if you're an idiot in Texas that's 4'2" and wears children's t-shirts? Because it makes him look more muscular.
Hey.
Shaves his head because he's bald. Just saying. I don't know if there's any 3'4" people that wear children's shirts that shave their head in Texas because they don't want to pay income tax in California.
What's more fun than saying ectoparasite?
I know. That is like a major ACT word.
Pro.
Okay. So. Pro, okay, Scott, you're pro in round 5. This is the one that's the.
Okay.
Pro what?
Well, I'm going to lose.
What is it?
Because it's Amador.
Amador. Oh, I'm sorry. Amador.
Amador is my.
And which
pro
one
Amador.
Are you?
I'm pro, and I'm not pro Amador. I don't care for Amador.
You were just pro horse dewormer, and you did that.
Jesus. Yeah, but I don't like Amador. I don't like the style of Zins. Although,
you've ever been there? Maybe it's a lovely place to visit.
Maybe it's a lovely place to visit, but I'm
it's mountainous.
I'm deferring.
Oh Jesus! So you gave up?
I gave up.
Oh my God! You're
Becky's
loser.
Gone. Amador.
It is also not my favorite. However, I'm not opposed to doing more research.
But you're con.
No, wait, easy.
I know, I'm trying to be nice.
Easy. This is a game. You're supposed to be an impartial arbiter.
I am. I don't want Becky to win. It's just the way math works. Go ahead.
I'm so tired of playing this game.
I think we both concede on this topic, so you're going to have to count the points.
We both did each other's viewpoint, didn't we?
You both get zero. We'll just leave it at that.
That's fine. All right. Amador would not be my choice for then. Do they make anything else?
Turley is a tasting room in Amador.
Well, there we go. That's a pro.
I can't bring that up. It's your turn. It doesn't count. It's for all, me. It's I don't get late. Those points.
It's too late.
Maybe it's too late pretty. To turn back now.
Maybe it's pretty.
I'm sure it is. It's California.
Yeah.
Northern-ish. What? Amador's... Southwest of the Bay, I think, of San Francisco Bay, I think.
Mm. All right. So,
I think actually it's a good bit away from the Bay.
All right. So,
Sierra Nevada.
In the first round, we have the tasting panel.
Pinel.
Or the Pinel. That's right.
It is closer to Modesto.
Scott.
It is southwest of Tahoe.
You did refer to it as the tasting Pinel, which is good.
Are we going to always say that?
You could.
I think it's no.
Tasting Pinel. And I provided you three points. 3 points. Three out of five.
Three.
You were three. Very mediocre. And Becky, one I had to feed you, we don't know who the tasting panel is. It's important.
None of us know, though.
We don't.
I don't get a negative for that.
Well, Wilfred Wong is not on the tasting panel. I should get 4 points for that.
No, I gave you 3 points.
Oh, my God.
So you tied. On the next one.
Next time, I'm not playing this game.
No, you are. I'm just going to change the name. It's going to be called...
the tasting panel.
Faux or no. That's what it's going to be called next.
What?
And you just go, yo or no. That's what this is going to be called. So, cult wines. Beck, you made excellent points.
Okay.
That were wrong. Pro, or that were con, cult wines.
They were pro.
But you were con. You made con arguments. But Scott, you did a good job. You actually talked about, not as always. You get 4 points. Becky, I gave you 2.5 points.
A half?
2.5 points. Yeah, so.
I should have 3.5 for the first because I mentioned Wilfred Wong.
Scott did a buzzer sound, and I wrote that down, and I thought that you should deduct a point because it was it gave me PTSD from the word of the game.
Who's to say I didn't do that?
He would have gotten a 5 out of 5.
Yep. I'm high quality.
No, he wouldn't have, but that's okay. At least he did. You did name Screaming Eagle. That was good. I would have asked
Mary Edwards, and I brought up Caithness.
Well, Scott was correct in his argument that those aren't really considered cult wines, but then I...
Yes, they are.
No, they're not.
Okay.
No, they're boutique wines.
They're
really
good.
They're really good. Probably better than a lot of the cult wines. Coughlin, Screaming Eagle, Scarecrow, Harlan. Yeah, shit like that.
I think Ace of Spades and Cristal were the first ones I heard of that I would consider cult wines.
I don't know.
Or like Dom.
Cult wines, though, normally refer to California.
Because why?
Because the cult wine is from California.
American marketing.
Yes. Bottle variation. So right now, Scott's up. Bottle variation. I thought that Becky did a little bit better job. But she failed to mention the fact that you just use that to be nice to people that drink bad wine. But I still gave her 3 points. Scott, you did a poor job.
I nailed it.
I gave you 2.5 points.
Oh, my God.
Becky wins that one.
How much did I get? 3?
3.
And what did Scott get?
2.5.
2.75. Oh, I know.
So now we're moving on to horse dewormer. Scott, you actually did a great job because you noticed that I did not say as a treatment for COVID. I just said horse dewormer. And there are uses for it, but anti-parasitic. That's good. I'll give you 4 points.
4?
Yes, you weren't perfect. You did a good job. Becky, you actually used the terms in the year of our Lord, which is quite good. I mean, that boosts you up a little bit. I mean, yeah.
Why does that boost her up?
Because that's pretty cool to say that.
No, it's not.
It makes people realize you're being serious. Let's just say that.
What?
Yes, you did.
So you
should use that more often. You'd be more serious.
No, that's the shit that the religious right uses to...
Whatever.
Well, I take him seriously. That's an insult.
That's another reason why. So no. I gave her, but I gave her 4 points.
I think you were quite serious.
Yes.
Oh, I did. My Lord.
So coming down to the last round, and that was Amador, and neither one of you could bother, so you both got 0 points.
Okay.
So that means
Scott won by one.
Yes, he does.
I love that he gave us 0 points. We annoyed him.
No.
Why didn't we? That do makes that we're more?
Both. I know. That means we're both winners.
Yeah, I agree.
It's because I'll come up with another game that's even worse.
No.
Yeah.
And tonight's secret word is. Yeah.
The next one's going to be called Name That Wine. And I'm just going to name some obscure thing, and you're just going to have to name it. You're not going to be able to do it. Name that varietal.
We also don't have to play.
You're going to name a wine, and then we're going to have to name it.
Yeah, I don't think you could do that.
What?
Let's see.
After you name it?
J-Lore.
What?
Well, so you didn't say it. Z, you lost.
J-Lore.
There you go.
Scott, did you have any good wine this weekend?
No, I did not. Good. I bought, made a TJ's run finally. It's been more than a month since I've been there. And this is the first time since you showed it to me that they had the Oak Claribe. And we took a bottle over to the friend's house Friday night, and the girls didn't.
No, they
didn't
wouldn't.
Woo over it.
You have to let that shit breathe. You cannot,
well, and they were drinking in the hot tub and not appropriate wine. She had big bulbous glasses, and I suggest those, and she said she's not allowed to have those because she tends to break things, and we were going in the hot tub, so I kind of agreed with her.
Yeah, it's not a hot tub wine. No. I'm going to go in the hot tub. I would like a Bordeaux. No, you don't say that, do you? I don't.
It's
that's when you drink a pina colada. Let's be frank.
Princess said, get a bottle of wine, so I grabbed that.
Man, but a hot tub? Who's drinking red wine in a hot tub?
That's what they drink.
That's weird.
That's just what they drink.
Drink a ranch water in a hot tub. Something cool. You drink it cool.
A ranch water? What's a ranch water?
Becky knows.
You haven't had a ranch water?
I don't know what a ranch water is.
It's tequila, lime, and just mineral water.
Oh, that's that.
Yeah.
Chico. Chico.
Just something simple.
Yeah, my wife's not going to drink tequila.
No. Okay. Anyway, folks, we're going to take a break. Scott has won ProBeCon for the first time in his entire fucking life.
I think that's right.
That's true.
It still was rigged.
He lost. So anyway.
I don't know why you're anti-me.
I'm not.
He's anti-me.
We had an interesting wine weekend before we exit.
We did.
Friday night, Rob opened a bottle of wine.
Just some rando TJ 799 Bordeaux.
No.
All that. Yes, I opened Earthquake Petite Syrah by Michael David. It's still hasn't been drank. It's vacuum binned. Michael David, go fuck yourself. You make really just I have another bottle of that.
Why?
To give you as a gift, probably.
I love that.
Yeah,
I love it. No,
you want it tonight on ProVeCon.
You might. Yeah. You want
it.
You want a full sized Bordeaux, Grand Bordeaux glass full of Michael David's Earthquake Petite Syrah.
I told Rob to pour it out, and he was like, "No, let's wait until tomorrow night. I'll seal it up, and we'll see if it's better."
I had a glass last night.
Drinkable.
It was drinkable, but it ain't good. So, folks, we're gonna take a break, and then be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So the 2018 Hitching Post Hometown Central Coast Pinot Noir. We're going to go over to the Triple B and get a score.
Oh, let me get my notes.
Oh.
So what I remember about this for sure is the lemon that goes through it. I just think that's really unusual because it's not a... It just is a different presentation, especially to have lemon on the finish. I'm really into that. Not super tanning, but I really am into the tannins. Whenever we were talking about the minerality and I said it reminded me of a driveway, I was kind of chuckling in my head because if we saw that on a review, driveway, you'd be like, okay, am I actually drinking this? But I just think it's a light Pinot. It's lovely. It drinks like a Pinot. I'm giving it an 88, and I would recommend it. I think it's very, very nice.
Yeah, this best thing about this wine, it makes me want to try their whole line.
Yep.
I'm going to go 89.
Yep.
What a super well-balanced wine that's unique, and it has a nice level of complexity. The soft raspberry, that soft lemon throughout, but there's two things that are the superstar. The tannins are so well balanced with the rest of the wine. It's a softer style Pinot and it's a softer style tannin.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautifully balanced with the oaking and then that wonderful kiss of, you know, we've talked about rose water in a wine before. This mm-hmm. is lemon water.
Do you taste the rose water? Mm-hmm. I do.
Yes, you do.
Yes.
Yeah, don't you mock the Pinot file.
I'm mocking you.
This is lemon water.
What are you talking about? My Scooby-Doo sound with a mounted face.
Fantastic wine.
It is. 89, huh?
Love it. One thing that has gone along, the minerality for me has gone more to slate. And I love it.
Mm. And on to me. I agree with everything they said. The one thing that kicks it up just a little bit for me is that memorable backstrap of black licorice through the mid to the finish. I think that's just so interesting. I like the balance of this wine where you have this lithy exterior and the nice dense core. There isn't anything, and quite frankly, it's a lovely drink. While, you know, could it be a little more complex? Sure, it could be. Could it have a floral element? Yeah, it could be. But I think that's what they say for their better, higher-end wines. That's great. I'm still going to give this 90 of my points.
And it's a nice range of scores.
99, but I'd give it a 90 to 88. I think that range encapsulates this wine very, very well.
The thing that doesn't take this to a 90 for me is just that it doesn't lack have that...
Lack of testicular fortitude? You know?
Yeah, it's just... No, yours not quite there.
Oh,
it's. I'm not criticizing it, but this is a really well put together wine.
Oh yeah,
not
yeah
a hair out of place on its head.
No, I like it a lot.
The stitch of clothing is perfect.
Stitch of clothing,
not a thread out of place.
Oh okay, I get you.
Not
get
a
you.
Wrinkle.
That's interesting.
And it's collar.
Oh no. Fascinating. Downright diabolical.
Shoelaces perfectly tied. Not a scuff on the toe. Belt perfectly placed. This wine is well dressed.
Ankles well perfectly sawed. Placed perfectly in plastic bags. Put in my fridge. Perfectly. It's just you might as well get to that next level because that's where you were going. You're talking about the rest of it. You're
of
like,
course, perfectly. That's where I was going.
Perfectly, yes.
Buffalo Bill.
Perfectly, perfectly.
Is she a large person?
Yes. Perfectly murdered and slaughtered and then perfectly made into a suit. Yes. Perfectly. That's right. Perfectly head removed. Put in my freezer. Perfectly. Why do you bring me into this? I've never done that. Not to anyone. Anyone would miss.
Jesus.
That's great. They're transients. They don't have... Oh, they call them hobos still. I don't know.
Oh. What was that giggle?
The giggle only a homicidal lunatic can have. So, folks, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, and the Triple B, we are going to bid you adieu. But see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.